Transfiguration Sunday. I expect this story is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We hear it every year on Transfiguration Sunday. I expect that we've all heard it enough times so that we can play the little video in our heads. We can see it in our mind's eye. And we can see ourselves there with or even as Peter, James, and John. See it well enough that we're sort of in the inner circle ourselves. We are Jesus' teaching assistants as he has this faculty meeting with Moses and Elijah. Except that, well, I've talked about Peter, James, and John before. It may be that they were not singled out by Jesus because they were star students. But they were the ones who needed special attention, the ones you wouldn't leave alone in a classroom. And by the way, they might be the cream of the crop of the disciples, but I'm not sure that says much because the other nine disciples we find out in this same section, the other nine disciples, while Peter, James, and John were up on the mountain, a man brought his son to the nine disciples to be healed. And they tried, unsuccessfully. Awkward. They try. A few lines later in the story, the man brings his son to Jesus and says, in a crowd, so publicly showing that the disciples are incompetent, says, they tried to do it, and they couldn't. So maybe Peter, James, and John are the cream of the crop, but it doesn't say much for any of them. And by the way, the next time we see Jesus taking Peter, James, and John with him, it's at the Garden of Gethsemane on Maundy Thursday, and he says, come with me, stay awake while I go pray. Of course, they couldn't, and Jesus comes back to say, you had one job. Peter, James, and John, not the best students. From start to finish, they struggle to get things right. Just before this story, Jesus has been asking the disciples, who do people say that I am? And they say, Elijah, one of the prophets. And Jesus asks, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, right you are, Peter. But we all know you didn't come up with this on your own. God told you, but good job anyway. And then Jesus says, I'm going to make you the leader of the church. Apparently, Peter thought he was now appointed chief of staff, because when Jesus starts talking about what's going to happen to him, going to Jerusalem, be persecuted, suffer, die, and then rise again, Peter grabs him by the arm and pulls him aside and says, no, no, Messiahs don't do that. And Jesus interrupts Peter, says, get behind me. You're not in charge. Peter gets one answer right, and then he starts running his mouth. I am convinced that the Gospels record this story about the Transfiguration right after Peter goes off the rails. It's a cautionary tale for Peter, James, and John, the other nine disciples, and for us, that we need to hear Jesus and his Father both. We need to listen to both of them. And note, when Peter starts talking about going to IKEA to get some sheds for Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, well, the cloud interrupts Peter. He doesn't even get to finish this jabbering. Sit down and listen, the voice says. Good advice to those three, the other nine, and all of us. Because at least my experience is I'm always quick to give God advice, and for that matter, everybody else. It reminds me, though, of an interview with Mother Teresa. You've probably heard about it. An interviewer asked her, "What do you say to God when you pray?" And she said, "Not much. Mostly I just listen." And so the follow-up question, of course, was, "And what does God say to you?" And she says, "Not much. Mostly God just listens." That's probably good advice from the cloud to all of us. Listen. Or for the baseball fans, that great spiritual leader, Yogi Berra, to paraphrase, said, "You can hear a lot just by listening." We should take note that Peter always gets in the way when he starts talking. Much more often when he's talking does he get in trouble than when he's listening. And yes, I know how ironic it is that I'm the only one talking now. But I'm going to ask you all, and myself included, to take this advice from this Lent, the advice from the cloud. Starting on Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, consider at least listen to God's beloved Son. I'm not going to tell you how to do that. There are all kinds of devotionals, from ancient classics to contemporary books and online. Maybe you want to just spend a minute on Ash Wednesday in silence, listening for God. And maybe the next day 2 minutes, and the next day 3 minutes, and Saturday 4 minutes. And you don't have to do it on Sunday because, by the way, Sundays are in Lent, but not of Lent. Sundays are always feast days. And so there are 40 days in Lent, not including Sundays. If you are giving something up for Lent and can't stand it, Sunday is your cheat day. Use it wisely. But by the end of Lent, if you take a minute a day, add a minute a day, you'll be spending more than a half hour listening. The last thing about this weird story in us, I know I have mentioned Celtic spirituality before. Celtic spirituality talks about thin places, places in the world where heaven and earth are so close that you can touch one and the other. When the human and the divine, earth and heaven, are maybe 3 feet apart. You might catch sight of heaven when you're in one of those places, and I'm convinced that that's what the Transfiguration story is about. You might see a shining Jesus, or hear the voice of God from a cloud. You might feel like you're on a mountain high enough, even if you're not on a mountain. Close enough to heaven to hear the voice of God, to feel the presence of the Almighty. I'm convinced that the Transfiguration story, that event was not for Jesus. Maybe for Peter, James, and John, but not for Jesus. It was for some not-so-quick disciples and for us to keep us going. So I'd like to offer this possibility. Yes, occasionally we will find ourselves in a thin place on a mountain, often in nature, perhaps a church camp, where we experience heaven and earth being close to each other, almost in the presence of the divine, when you can see and almost touch God. Sometimes that is on a mountain, but sometimes it's not. today and every Sunday and on Wednesday evening, there is a thin place where God and humanity get close to each other. When you can, in a thin place like that, maybe as thin as a smile or a teardrop, touch God. Today, every Sunday, and this Ash Wednesday, I invite you to that thin place where the distance between you and God is wafer thin, bread and wine thin, given and shed for you thin, when God comes to you and offers the promise to be with, in, with, and under you. Sometimes on a mountain, sometimes when you're in the pits, God comes. Thanks be to God.